You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
Prior to sending his fierce wrath onto Sodom, God made a distinction. He made a distinction, hallelujah, between the righteous and the wicked. He delivered righteous Lot from the fires of judgment. He did the same with Noah, stating Noah was a just man. He's going to do the same thing with the church. He's going to make a distinction. Those are my people, and they're coming out. Amen? Amen.
Have you ever wondered what is reliable and trustworthy in a world filled with enticing promises and attractive options? Today, Pastor Jeff emphasizes the importance of discernment, encouraging you to steer clear of what seems too good to be true. Instead, invest your time and faith in the solid rock of God's sound doctrine, the Bible. Amidst the world's noise, God's Word will always be a steadfast guide, giving you hope. By anchoring yourself in God's Word, navigate life's complexities with confidence. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 as he continues his message, False Prophets.
Many will follow their pernicious, immoral ways. Because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed because they're standing in the place of teacher. Peter says these shameless apostate teachers will finally endorse, please catch this, this is amazing, they will endorse as normal the most foul and filthy lifestyles imaginable. Their whole thing is going to be to normalize perversion. Are we there? They'll be active players, these false prophets and false teachers who have gone sideways, departed from sound biblical doctrine. Some of them will play a key role in normalizing perversion, normalizing it. Instead of vilifying it, normalizing it. I'm going to name names. The United Methodist Church, Episcopalian Church, Presbyterian Church. Those are just three examples of national denominations, international, who have forsaken their roots and sanction the ordination of homosexuals and marrying same-sex couples. And they've had huge, there's been, I read today how many have left the United Methodist Church, officially USA, how many churches have departed from it to form their own branch. 1,000, something like that, tons of them. 1.3, I forget, a lot have left because they wouldn't bend on this whole thing of ordaining people living in perversion. As Paul wrote in Romans 1, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of what? In the Old Testament, God killed you for that. How many of you are so glad we're not in the OT? I'm so glad I'm in the NT. Because if we were in the OT, there wouldn't be very many believers on the planet or people on the planet. But look, he says, deserving of death. Now, what are they doing? They know the righteous judgment of God. In other words, they're not ignorant of God or of consequences for sin. But look what they do. Not only do the same, in other words, they live that life, but they also approve of or celebrate those who practice them. They celebrate them. They celebrate the practice. They celebrate the sin. We're there. And it's not only going to grow worse, or it's only going to grow worse until Christ returns. It's going to grow worse. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, Paul wrote. Wow, are we there? Next, Peter focuses on the motive of false teachers and prophets. Here's their motive. A bunch of them. Verse 3, by covetousness, they'll exploit you with feigned words. Covetousness means a craving to have more. The idea is these false teachers are after your money. Now, there's a shock. They're after your money. They're on TV. They're on the radio, not me. I don't ask for money on radio, ever. They're in books. When they speak at a place, they're all about getting the money. They teach what they teach to get the money. I hope I'm not disillusioning some of you. Now, there's some really good ones out there. Good, trustworthy, honorable preachers and teachers and ministers. And I thank God for them. Most of them are unheralded, unknown, just pushing that plow in the kingdom of God, wherever God has placed them until they go home or Jesus comes and gets them. And the world is full of people like that. But a lot of the time, it's these false ones that get the most attention and the most followers. It's interesting, with feigned words, it's from the Greek word plastos. We get plastic from that. Feigned is plastic. It means the words they speak are fabricated or molded, craftily fashioned to deceive people in order to get their money. Are we there? Can you think of a few? It's all about money. When you listen to them, it's all about money. Don't take me long. You can listen to some people, every other minute, it's going to be about money. I immediately go, uh-uh. No. It's one thing to share a need, but if that's your primary message, it's off. Was that Paul's primary message? Peter, James, John, Jude, Jesus? No. So if it's not there, it's not true. So Peter's really describing spiritual con men. They craft their words carefully to get your money from you. Now, I don't want to kill giving, but I think you need to be very careful who and what you give to. Be sure that it's going to reaching people for Christ. Be sure that it's going to further the gospel of the kingdom and the kingdom of God, and it's not going to make somebody rich in their mansion. Thank you. I got a handout there somewhere. Amen, amen, amen. All right. In the second half of verse 3, he addresses the doom of the false teachers and prophets. Look at the second half of 3. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Their judgment is at the door. Though it seems as if their judgment is slumbering, sleeping, taking too long, it is at the door, Peter is telling us. Now next, he illustrates God's wrath on unrepentant sin by pointing out 3 separate entities that experience the judgment of God. Let's scoot through them real quick. Are you ready? Verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned. Angels. Everybody say angels. So the first entity is holy angels. If he did not spare the holy angels who sinned, but cast them down where? To hell. And deliver them into what? Chains of darkness. To be reserved for what? Judgment. Now, a lot of people don't understand, sin didn't begin on earth with Adam and Eve. Sin happened before Adam and Eve. The first sin was pride, and the carrier was the devil when he was Lucifer. The Bible says he literally saw it. That's what pride will do to you. Pride makes you crazy. You way overestimate yourself. And Lucifer overestimated himself because the Bible says Lucifer, the archangel, was beautiful, stunning, gifted, magnificent in the angelic hierarchy. And he I don't know if there was a mirror, but he looked at something and said, I'm all that in a bag of chips, and I'm going to be equal to God. So he ascended up in, towards the throne of God to overthrow him. Pride made him crazy. On the heels of his judgment, he carried with him a third of the heavenly hosts. It says in Revelations, his, Satan's tail, drew a third of the stars. Stars as angelos, messengers of heaven, the angels, and threw them to the earth. Jesus said in Luke 10:18, I witnessed Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I saw it. When this happened, when this judgment happened to Lucifer, he became Satan. And the fallen angels became demons. Their current sphere of activity is our planet. And they actively hold our world in bondage. John writes, the whole world lies under the sway or the power of the wicked one, the evil one, the devil. Jesus called the devil the prince of this world, not the king of the world, but the prince of this world. And these fallen angels work ceaselessly, tirelessly, to hinder God's purposes on earth. They harbor great hatred for the Jewish people and the Lord's blood-bought church. Peter says their final judgment is certain. And warfare, let me inform you, dear church, it's never going to stop until we go to heaven. Satan never lets up. How many of you have fought the devil already this week? And if you think you haven't, you're deceived. If you're a child of God, you've already fought him. How many of you fought him today? How many of you fought him to get even to get to church tonight? You bet. These fallen angels, listen, but Peter says their judgment is certain. So God didn't spare angels. Will he spare people? Mm-mm. Next, he goes to Noah's generation. Verse 5, did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. The people of Noah's generation are called the antediluvians. They lived before the flood. The antediluvian world, the whole world, men, women, children, mammals, the only thing that survived that flood was marine life and whatever was on the ark and eight human beings. That's it. God didn't spare the ancient world. What is Peter telling us? If he didn't spare them, is he going to spare you? He's talking to the world now, the unrepentant world. If God did not spare the old world, is he going to spare you? No. The Bible is clear as to why God brought the great flood in Noah's time. Genesis 6 says, then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil constantly. Mankind had sunk so low, not for one microsecond did a man on earth have a righteous thought. I used to read that and go, that's impossible. Not now do I think that. Genesis also tells us the earth was filled with violent bloodshed. So here's the antediluvians. Pandemic violence, rampant immorality, and total apathy toward God and his warnings of coming judgment characterized Noah's generation. Are we there? After giving that generation 120 years to repent at Noah's preaching, God sent the flood because he hadn't had one convert in 120 years. I would give up preaching, I think. You know, I see like Sunday, we had 18 people baptized. We had people come to Christ, rededicate their lives to Christ. It was an incredible Memorial Day Sunday. But I think if I preached for 100 years and not one convert, how many of you would wonder about your calling? Like, this isn't working. How's that working out for you? I don't have any converts. But Noah kept right on preaching. What a man of faith. What a man of faith he was. So look at this. God judged angels, and he judged the world of Noah's time. Now Peter is going to go to one more group, Sodom and Gomorrah. Uh-oh. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into what? Ashes. Condemn them to what? I got two of you answering me. You look up there. What did he condemn them to? Destruction. And why did he do it? He made them an example to those who afterward would live the same way. If you study history, you'll see that from time to time, God will make an example of a person or a nation. He made an example of Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. He made an example of cities in Sodom and Gomorrah to highlight what he thinks about certain sins. Peter says that God made an example of the twin cities. It's his showpiece of what he thinks of sodomy. Can I just tell? I'm not going to do politically correct talk. All right? So let me just tell you, the overthrow of the pornographic and violent culture of Noah's time and the perverted culture of Sodom and Gomorrah stand right next to each other in the Bible. It's worth remembering that Jesus predicted the generation that saw his return would be like both the antediluvian generation of Noah and the people in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. It would be like that. It would be like that. It would look like that. They would be behaving like that. So we're safe to assume, based on Peter's words, that the end time apostasy we now see coming into full flower right now is going to be accompanied by the growth of abnormal, vile wickedness throughout the world. I'm going to give you one quick example of how I know that we have to be near his return, and it breaks my heart. It's hard for me to even say it, because I could point to so many examples. This whole push to sexualize children with the transgender movement. You can say what you want, but you go into Target, you go into Kohl's, you go into several now, and there's little garments for one-year-olds talking about being proud to be gay. Now, I ask you, why does a one-year-old need sexualized garments? Because those one-year-olds have three-year-old, four-year-old, five-year-old brothers and sisters who look at that, and what did I say a little while ago about normalizing perversion? We're looking right now at it shocks me every day how our nation has opened the door of hell to actively try to sexualize little children and normalize to them what God condemns, the worst of sins. And June 16th, the LA Dodgers, a Major League Baseball team, take me out to the ballpark. I was raised on baseball. My dad had me throwing a baseball before I could walk. I was raised on the New York Yankees. I was born in New York. Don't hold it against me. But I was raised in New York. I was born in New York. And my dad, I knew all about Roger Maris, Mickey Mantle, Babe Ruth, Yogi Berra. I knew about them before I knew how to talk. And my dad cried when Mickey Mantle died. So I'm raised on baseball, mom, America, apple pie, Chevy, baseball. And yet, June 16th, the LA Dodgers have invited to honor the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Who's that? They are Christ haters. They are professional blasphemers. They get on crosses and make perverted gestures on the crosses. They are bigots. And they are going to a stadium of people on TV mock the cross of your Savior and mine. Their whole name, Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, has to do with mocking nuns and mocking the crucifix. The Dodgers management has been approached over and over again, please don't do this. They backed off once, then they came right back in and set it back in place. Folks, listen, I don't know how long you've been around. I've been around a while. I've grown up in America. And I'm going to tell you that this would not have even gotten down the street 20 years ago. It would not have even been considered. But not only have they been invited in, but they are going to be honored in the name of diversity. Oh, come on. That's not diversity. How's that diversity if you're deeply offending millions of Christians all over America and the world? But folks, this is where we are. And if I didn't believe in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'd be looking for a nice little place somewhere in Belize. But I believe the gospel is the answer to this madness. The gospel is the answer to this sickness. But this is sickness. This is, you know, you're no longer, you have left the reservation out there. You have gone, you have departed and gone where, boy, angels fear to tread. The only reason I'm telling you that is to highlight how Jesus said it's going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to be like the antediluvian Noahic generation. Was he right? Can you believe this? I can't. I just, right when you think you've read it all and it can't get worse, something comes along and it's worse. Now, I don't want to be totally negative. We had 18 people baptized Sunday. We had people come to Christ Sunday. And I have to believe that when you go that direction, when you go that direction, you're going to end up in hell. You're going to end up in a terrible place from which you will need deliverance, and the deliverer will be Jesus, the Son of the living God. He turns next to Lot, and I'm going to finish real quick. He talks about Lot, and we'll finish with this. And God delivered righteous Lot, verse 7, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Do you feel that way now? Isn't it a vexing, tormenting thing to see these things happening? Prior to sending his fierce wrath onto Sodom, God made a distinction. He made a distinction. Hallelujah. Between the righteous and the wicked. He delivered righteous Lot from the fires of judgment. He did the same with Noah, stating Noah was a just man. And he's going to do the same thing with the church. He's going to make a distinction. Those are my people, and they're coming out. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, God finally judged Sodom when sexual perversion was not just an alternative lifestyle, but the lifestyle. The lifestyle. That's when he judged them. Notice how God calls the homosexual lifestyle lawless. It's against natural law. Flying in the face of God's original intent for man and woman, marriage, and everything else. Boy, I can really expect some interesting things when this goes on the radio. Because, you know, a lot of preachers won't touch this with a 30-foot pole, but it's there in the Bible. Listen, I'm not looking for trouble, but if I'm going to teach through the Bible, you've got to, because here it is. I can't just skip over verses and say, well, God's word, I can't honor it there.
Do you feel like a cog in a machine? Do you ever question what your purpose is? In today's message from Pastor Jeff, he shared that you must never forget where your true citizenship lies, heaven. Fix your gaze on heaven and never forget where your citizenship lies. Maintain a heavenly perspective, remembering that your true home is not on this dreary planet. Keep your focus on the ultimate destination and live in a way that reflects the values of the heavenly citizenship.
Hi, everybody. This is Jeff Wickwire, host of the Hardwire broadcast, and I'm so excited to tell you about this month's offer for you, our listeners. For a gift of $40 or more, we want to send you the beautiful new Bible put out by Tyndale called Immerse, the Reading Bible. Our offer contains a beautiful Reads Like Butter New Testament featuring the New Living Translation. The Immerse Bible New Testament contains no chapters, no verses, just like the original manuscripts in which the Bible was written, so that it reads more like a story. It also comes with an 8-week reading plan, maps, and a helpful summary of every New Testament book. So So if you want to try a really unique approach to your daily Bible reading, just go to hardwire.org and click Donate Now to give your gift of $40 or more. We'll send you the Immerse Bible immediately. And thanks once again for your support of Hardwire. Every dollar we receive will go toward reaching the world with God's Word.
Do you share God's love with the world? Do you make it a point to be a witness to everyone around you? In his next message, Pastor Jeff encourages you to be a city on a hill for the whole world to see. Instead of sinking into the muck and mire with everyone else, actively share God's love with the world and witness God's kingdom. Spread God's love not only to save others from needless suffering, but also for immense spiritual growth. Be God's love to the world. There's more Pastor Jeff has to share from the book of 2 Peter, so be sure to join us again. If you missed any part of today's teaching, you can find it online at hardwired.org. We are so glad we could be part of your day today, and we pray you've been blessed by today's edition of Hardwired.